All right, we'll try to hurry tonight. But we're back in Titus again. We're going to go to Titus chapter 2. And let's continue with this. We've looked at what the Bible says here about the older men, the older women, the younger women. Now we're going to look at the young men tonight, verses 6 through 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. He really stresses that a lot, don't he? The women, young women, old men, young men, all are supposed to be sober-minded, serious-minded, and act intelligent, think intelligently, and talk like it. Don't act foolish and talk nonsense and be dumb and stupid. Don't. That's just not becoming to a Christian, and it doesn't speak of sound doctrine. And it gives occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme when we don't keep the order that God's laid out here. Sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, young men. There to be an example, a pattern in good works. In doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. All right, that's the brief, condensed advice to young men. It's instruction from God about how the young men in the church especially are to behave themselves and conduct themselves. Now he said, young men likewise exhort. All right. Now the older women are to teach the younger women all the things we talked about last week. Then the young men, he says, likewise exhort them. You know, young men need instruction. Yeah. Most of them don't want it, but they sure do need it. You need it more when you're young than any other time in your life. And especially when you're a young man. I'm talking about, you know, old enough to start thinking about getting married or married already with children. You're a young man. And that's when you need advice. You need to be exhorted. You know, somebody needs to be able to exhort you. That's not chide or chastise or, you know, criticize. It's not an attack. It's a help. You need help when you're young. Well, I just stick to my notes here, but I can think of a whole lot of things I'd like to say right there. Let's start here. He said to exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Well, that means a sound mind. That means moderation in all things. A sound mind. Sober-minded is to be moderate, not extreme in your opinions, extreme in your beliefs and stuff. I read a thing by Tozer the other day, and he's talking about how there are these people who always want, a lot of you read it, but it's about how they're always chasing some extreme fancy or idea that hasn't always been part of the church. They'll ignore the main church doctrines, the main, the main aspects of the faith, and they'll be on some tangent, some foolish, wild idea that's mystical or some mystery or something like that. The young men are not to be that way. To be sober-minded is to be moderate, not like that. Not a kook, not a strange one. Now, somebody's got wild ideas and strange ideas and always chasing some unknown that everybody else hasn't seen or something like that. You really don't need to do that when you're young because you don't have enough knowledge and experience yet to discern things right. And you can easily be led off into an error that can ruin your life, ruin your family, mess you up for the rest of time and eternity. So So you need to be exhort. We're to exhort the young men to be sober-minded, not to feed their foolishness. You know, all these churches, I mean, we had a guy with us one time, a missionary, young missionary, and he ate worms for the bus route. You know, they did all kinds of stuff like that. Eat goldfish, eat worms. He would eat worms, chew them up, and open his mouth so they could see what he's got in his mouth. You know, earthworms, fishing worms, bait. Well, now that's not sober-minded. No. Christian comedy is not sober-mindedness. And it doesn't teach young men to be sober-minded. Or young women. Or older men. Or older women. Christian comedy does not teach you to be sober-minded. Therefore, it's not biblical. And I've never seen a Christian comedian that I thought was very spiritual at all. Just because they'll invoke the name of Jesus or God or the Bible or something somewhere along the line. You know, what's this guy that's so popular? I can't even remember his name. He's got long hair now and tattoos all over him, and he dresses like, you know, a bum. And he's, you know, on the very edge of profane. Tim Hawkins, yes. Pastors and pastors' wives, and everybody goes and drives long distance to see him and listen to him. And he comes in churches and puts on shows for churches. That's where young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. I don't see how that fits. Do you? Do you see how that fits? Well, everybody ought to have a little fun. You're setting a terrible example for the young people. You're teaching them, and there's so much wrong with it that I don't even, you know, we can chase that the rest of the evening here. But it's desecrating the house of God. This is a place of worship. It's where we meet with God. It's the sanctuary. It's where we worship God. It ain't the place for jokes and shady humor that's almost profane. And it ain't the place for somebody like that who really... You know, my opinion ain't got much on the ball spiritually, if anything, really. They're making a living. Making merchandise of the people of God. It means to be discreet. Now, you remember that last week we talked about that with the women? It's having some discernment about things. To be discreet and have his passions under control. Now that's what to be sober-minded entails. To be sober-minded is a real challenge for young men. It really is. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Well, most people don't drive it out with a rod and correction. They don't. And so young men still have a bunch of it in them most of the time. Especially in the generation we're living in. They used to, they got it worked out of them. Yes. By the time they were old enough to get married, they had calluses on their hands and they knew what it was to be worked into the ground. These boys nowadays don't, that's for sure and certain. Sober-minded means to have sober thoughts, deep thoughts. Have some depth to your intellect instead of nothing but everything's just a joke and fun or stupid or yeah. Cool or yeah. That's all that most of these young people care about. They could care less about God as long as their peers accept them and think they're cool. That anything, they'll do anything to obtain that. Well, we need to teach our young men to not be like that. We need to teach them to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. To be serious. To act like a man. Even though they're a young man, they can act like a full-grown man. They can talk like one. They can think like one. That's how you learn to be one. Be experienced. And, you know, they all want to be treated like a man. And I've always told my kids, and they never did like it, but I said, you want to be treated like an adult? You act like an adult. You act like a stupid little child, and everybody's going to treat you like a child if you're 40 years old. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Grow up. Amen. Think about sober things. Think about important things. Think about things that matter. and learn them well. A young man has trouble with that. It's a real challenge for him because in the first place, he don't know a lot. He don't know near as much as he thinks he does or wants to believe that he does. And really, he's insecure because he knows that. Deep inside somewhere, he knows that he can be made a fool of real easy. But there's plenty of people that'll jump at the chance to do it. A young man without the Spirit of God in control of his heart will be anything but sober-minded. I mean, life is a joke. Life is a practical joke. What do young men like to do more than anything? Play jokes on one another. Yes, sir. Is that sober-mindedness? No, it's not. Where does it lead? Trouble. It sure does. He has more going for him when he's young physically than he does mentally. He sure does. He'll take chances that endanger his life and the lives of others because he's not wise and he's not prudent. You know, it's just that way. We've all come the same road and we all have been through this and we all know. You know, I remember when Seth was trying to ride bulls and I told him one time, I said, you know, you get thrown off of that bull and break your leg, how are you going to feed your family? How are you going to pay your bills while you're laid up for months? Well, at that time, you know, it just ain't going to happen. And I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. Now, he didn't say that, but I mean, that's the attitude of most people when they're young. Most young men, just, I'm invincible. And there'll be a way somehow. We'll do it. I'm just, you know, they'll do that stuff without thinking about the responsibility. Part of being sober-minded is shouldering responsibility. Stepping up and being a man. I'm responsible. I've got to provide. I've got to take care of my family. You better teach young men to be that way or you're going to have a mess. You're going to have a lot that somebody else is going to have to take care of because they neglected their duty and their responsibility. He's full of confidence in himself, even though he has no basis for it and no record to prove it. Now, I'm being awful hard. See, last week I thought about a lot of things I said about the young women, and I know women get offended easy and all of that. I think they get offended easier than men do. But see, I'm being pretty hard on the men, ain't I? I mean, I'm just speaking the truth about how it is. I was a young man once. I know. Everything that I say, I can draw off of my own experience, my own self, and I know it's true. Every negative thing I say, I can say that was me. I was like that. I was young, and I was like that. And so I look around me, and I see others the same way. I seen others back then the same way, my age. And so I know it's right. Young men, they're full of confidence in themselves, even though they don't have any reason to be so, and they don't have anything to prove it. They ain't done anything. They've never accomplished anything. But they have all the confidence as if they had. I'm the man. You know, they want to act like they've accomplished something, like they've done something, but they haven't. That's not sober-mindedness. We're still talking about sober-minded. He's given to excess in just about everything that he does, unless he's truly submitted to God and led by the Holy Spirit. A young man is just prone to excess in everything. He'll overdo it. He'll overshoot it. He'll overblow it every time. He doesn't have any breaks. He doesn't have any, his leash don't have no limit to it. And so he's a danger to himself. He's a danger to everybody else. There's a lot of potential, but there's also the potential for good, the potential for disaster from this young life. And so therefore the instruction from the Word of God on what to do about it. How the ones around him, how the ones that have any influence, input in his life, what they're to do, what they're to tell him. Boy, you know, of all there is, in all of the whole body of wisdom and everything, and these are the few things that God sorted out and said, this is what the young men, this is what you need to teach them. This is what you need to remind them of. This is what you need to exhort them to. Boy, it's just a very few things here. So we ought to really pay attention, because they got to be important if God chose them out of everything that he could have said in this matter. He's given to excess unless God is in control of his life. I've seen a lot of young men who claim God was in control of their life, and they were still given to excess. Man, there wasn't no control in them. They didn't have control of themselves. He's not steady in his behavior, but prone to do outrageous and unreasonable things on impulse. I know y'all have seen a lot of these pictures and stuff about raising little boys. And, you know, some people have girls, and they never raise a boy, and boy, it's a foreign experience to them. They don't understand. It is two different things altogether. And you've seen the pictures of the little boy sitting up at the top of this long ramp, fixing to go down it on his bicycle. I mean, that's the way it is. They will do it. You can bet on it. When I was a kid, we'd climb up in a tree and jump out. And then if we made it that time, we'd go a little higher, jump that time, until somebody got hurt. It's a wonder we didn't break arms and legs and everything else. I've told you before, but I'd fill soda bottles up with dust, climb up on the roof and jump off with the dust flying by me like jet streams. Thought it was real neat. Do girls do that? One once in a while might do something like that, but that's a boy thing. And the thing about it is, that's 6, 8, 10-year-old boys, but when they get 16, 18, 20, they'll get in a car and do stuff like that, or on a motorcycle and do stuff like that. I read just about every week of some 16, 17-year-old boy, 13, getting killed around in this area on an ATV or something. What happened? Well, they thought they could handle it. But they overdid it. They went beyond their abilities. They went too fast. They jumped it too high. They took the curve too fast. I remember Jerry, a neighbor you guys bought the place from, he was telling us one day when he was young how he took Jones' curve at 70 and he made it. So he went back, took it at 80 and he made it then. And he went back and tried to take it a little faster, but he could feel it sliding as he went around. So, Dad said they was the terror of the county out here on the road, because they ran as hard and fast as it would go and went around every curve sideways on that gravel road and had everybody in the country scared to death to get on the road, because them boys run over them out there. They were young men. Young men. Now, you don't see young women got their things, but it's not that. Sober-mindedness. Now, if you're thinking right, why would you do that? If you're sober-minded, you're going to think, what if? I know one thing with all of my kids, and especially the boys, that's always been a thing. There's Dad just a pessimist, and he don't ever trust us, and he don't think we can do nothing. No, I'm just asking one question, what if? Because I'm thinking a little ahead, because I've done some of that stuff and it didn't turn out well. So, young men, likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded. Think, boys, think before you do stupid stuff. Realize that you're not Superman. Even if you wear your underwear on the outside, it don't make you any stronger. You're not invincible. Man, I can see faces and remember names and old people that I've known through the years. They didn't live to be older men, because their foolishness in their young youth, they lost their life because of it. Wrecking cars, wrecking motorcycles, getting shot, fooling with a gun, and, you know, that they wasn't careful about. Little boys need to have experience when they're little boys doing things that little boys should be doing, because it helps to teach them and train them to be sober-minded. Mama needs to turn loose of him, and she needs to let him do some stuff that he might get cut or hurt or bruised on. But that's that little stuff, minor, a cut or a bruise, ain't no big deal. It'll heal up. And it's worth more than money can buy in training him to think right, so that when he gets to be a young man, he don't get in a car and kill himself out here on the highway being stupid. With no sense, no discernment, no discretion. So he's given to excess. He's not steady in his behavior. He's prone to outrageous and unreasonable things on an impulse. Just, you know, boys will just do that. They'll just see something and do it. And it's outrageous and outlandish. And everybody standing there say, man, that's stupid. But he'll do it. He'll jump. All these things will eventually bring ruin to the body and the soul. Another thing about it is when you're young and you just beat yourself up and break yourself up and you treat your body so rough, you're going to suffer for it the rest of your life. And they don't understand that. I think pretty often anymore about what it used to feel like when I woke up of a morning. I never was one of these lay in the bed and can't wake up and take all morning to get going. I never was. When I'd wake up of a morning, it was just like full charge. I felt good. I felt just like new. I felt rested and ready to go. It's another day and I'm ready. Tank's full. And it ain't that way anymore. But I remember being young like that. I remember feeling good and walking fast and running fast and, yeah. And so when men are young like that, and they're strong and healthy and they're recharged every morning, it's hard for them to restrain themselves. If they can pick it up, they're going to pick it up. If they can shove it, they're going to shove it out of the way or whatever it needs. Oh, well, you get what I'm talking about. If a young man doesn't rein in these youthful tendencies, there's little hope of him being useful or happy in life. It's just going to ruin everything if he can't learn to think right. A virtuous woman's hard to find. But a young man with a sober mind is about the same. A sober-minded young man. He'll be of no use to the kingdom of God and a very great hindrance to it if he stays involved in the church. If he stays involved in the church and he's an immature, big old boy in a man's body, he's going to be a disaster to the church that he's in. Yeah, man. Yes, sir. His influence will be very negative and destructive on other young people who come up with him and those that are younger than him, because he's supposed to be an example, see, and he is an example. That's the next thing. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Be a good example, young man. Be the kind of young man that you know the Lord wants you to be. Be keenly aware that your life has the power to alter the course of other lives. You just need to understand, young man, that little eyes are watching you. There's those that are right behind you that are taking in everything you say. They're watching everything you do. And they're learning from you how to think, how to act, how to have opinions. So be a good example in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Think of the power of that influence if it's good, if it's right, if it's like God saying here. A pattern of good works. A young man who is doing right, who is sober-minded, whose passions and all that are reined in and under control. And the young boys and girls that are watching him, that are younger than him. Strive to make your life a pattern that others can follow and keep them from shipwreck and trouble. That all that is being sober-minded. Don't look for others to point to, or you know, to point people to. Be that person yourself. Be that example. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. What would the church be like if the young men were obedient to God's command on this point here? What would the church be like if the young men were like that? What if that was the prevailing attitude and condition of the young men in a church that was of any size? In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity. Young men tend to be blown about with every wind in doctrine. Now, I've been around a lot of them. I was one. Again, I'll say that I was one. I was much more easily influenced years ago than I am now. When I was young, I was still looking. When I first got in, I read everything and I looked at everything and I wanted to know the truth. And, you know, I didn't know who was right. If the Baptist was right, if ever somebody else right, I wanted to know it. I didn't just jump in with the first people I come in contact with and said, well, this is my people right here. No, I wanted to know the truth. But being young, you can really get messed up real easy that way. But I do believe that just sincerity is the key. I mean, being real and sincere in seeking the Lord and in obeying the Lord, God ain't going to fail you. He's going to guide you into all truth. And you'll find the truth. Young men tend to be blown about. They're much more easily persuaded by false prophets and dreamers. They really are. They're in danger about that. They're impressionable. And they are impressed by people who are charismatic or attractive in any way. You know, if they can just say the right words, if they're the right kind of personality, they can sway them. They're much more receptive to new ideas. And since they're seeking their place and their path in life, they're likely to embrace ideas that they perceive to better suit their ambitions. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying to you right there, but I've sat and watched through all these years contemporaries of mine who were young and impressionable, but they had an agenda. They had a goal they wanted in their life, and they wanted to succeed, and they wanted to be somebody, and so they made choices that suited their ambitions in order to become what they wanted to become. And it really didn't have nothing to do with being sincere before God. It was the way to the top. Young men are susceptible to that. It's a deception of the devil. So what it is. He's deceiving your soul. Promising you, just like he does these celebrities and everything else, promising them success and fame and riches if they'll just sell out to him. And that's the same thing that young men do in the matters of religion and stuff too. They use it the same way. Young men, to be incorruptible, it says, in doctrine. Now that means to be pure. Corruption is corruption. It's rottenness. It's foulness. It's pollution. Don't be polluted in your doctrine. Be uncorruptible in your doctrine. That means you ain't going to let somebody poison your doctrine, your way of thinking, your beliefs with junk, with corrupt stuff. Do not twist the word of God or seek views and opinions of men to suit yourself and your own desires. And you see, are you listening to me? This is what people do, not just young men, but other people do this too, but They'll get an idea in their mind and form an opinion based and that's influenced greatly by what they desire. They've got something they want. They want to live a certain way. They want to go a certain direction. And so they'll seek out people for yes men that'll affirm what they're wanting to do. And it makes them convinced that they're on the right track. Don't do that, young man. Don't seek out people to affirm what you want. Seek people that'll tell you the truth. Yeah. The wounds of an enemy are better than the kiss, or the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. You want to know how to know if somebody really loves you? They'll exhort you. They'll rebuke you. Not all the time, but they will. Because they love you, they'll warn you about a big mistake you're fixing to make. Somebody that's not for you, they won't. They'll just let you go. Now, the person who's not pure in doctrine will soon not be pure in morals either. So, young men need to keep themselves pure in doctrine. That's what it means, incorruptible. Uncorruptible in doctrine. If you keep your thinking right and you keep what you believe right, you'll do right. As a man thinketh in his heart, said this morning, so is he. So keep your doctrine pure. And in order to do that, they're going to have to settle on the truth taught to them by the elders in their lives and build from there, rather than starting from scratch for themselves. Young men should be strong against false teachings and false prophets. How? By listening to the people in their life that are older than them, that care about them, that'll tell them right and tell them the truth. You better lean heavily on that, young men. You better seek that out more than anything else. Why do young men want to take the advice and counsel of their peers like Rehoboam did? Look what a mess he caused by being foolish and unwise. All right, it says gravity. Young men they're to be honest. That what it means is that he's to be in his deportment and attitude such that commands respect. You understand what I'm saying? A young man, he wants respect, but he's got to act in a way that demands respect. People will respect a young man if he acts in this way. Gravity. He's sober-minded. He's serious. There's some depth to him. He's not talking foolishness. He's not believing crazy things. You know, he ain't a flat earther. He ain't chasing Bigfoot around or aliens. You know, he ain't got all these crazy ideas that he's come up with out of the Bible of aliens and giants and angels and all that kind of nonsense. Somebody who's older could talk to him if he's like the Bible's telling him to be here. They could have a intelligent conversation with him. And he would know some things. And he would be right. And what he projects to you would be sound and beyond rebuke. I mean, that's what we're coming to here. Sound speech. But let me say a few things. He should be mature, not childish. I mean, the verse that I want to read at the end of this is, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the all of this is addressed to the young boys, young men, young men. So when you become a man, you put away childish things. You quit thinking like a child. You quit talking like a child. You quit acting like a child. You quit playing with toys like a child. You start thinking as a man and not thinking as a child. Big difference, boy, big difference. Be mature, not childish. Should be sober, not foolish. He should be sensible, not spouting off the wall ideas that make people think he's silly and childish. Sincerity means pure and honest, just sincere. You can be wrong and sincere, but being sincere is mighty important. Being the opposite of being sincere is being a hypocrite, two-faced. Not sincere means you don't take anything seriously. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's really gratifying to see a young man speak with sound speech. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of him. It's refreshing when you see a young man able to talk and express ideas and opinions and truth in such a way that it just shuts everybody up. He's right. He's saying it right. He's not shaky. He's not got some funny things mixed in with it. I mean, it's just a powerful punch when a young man can talk like that. Sound speech. Again, that's another weakness of youth, to speak without thinking it out well first. Some people never get over it, but when you're young, you just say things. I mean, look, she'll say things. She don't think about what she's saying. She just says it. That's a child. When you're young, you still got to overcome that. As you grow up, you got to overcome this no restraint on your tongue. You just think it, you say it. No, when you grow up, you got to stop speaking as a child. He said, I spake as a child. That's how a child speaks. They speak their mind. And they don't care where they're at. You know, we laugh and talk about it, and it's so funny and cute when these little kids start talking and they get out in front of people and say these things that embarrass their mom and dad to death. And it's what we've said all along. We've experienced it. And you better be careful what you say around them. Little off-color words and little off-color stories and things like that. Believe me, they'll memorize them. One pass is all they need, and they got it. And they're just saving it for the prime time to use it publicly against you. Well, when you become a young man or a young woman, you should be getting over that. You should learn as a young man to sound speech. Think about what you say before you say it. Don't blurt it out there and throw it out there and then say, And everybody laughs at you. And everybody thinks you're a fool. That's not pleasant, is it? He's prone, when you're a young man, he's prone to take firm verbal stands on things that he can easily be shown to be a fool. I mean, he'll step out there and, make his stand. Yes, sir. And it's just whop, whop, and he's down. I mean, that ain't sound speech. I hope you all understand. Sound speech should also be such that it's not reproachable or reprovable. It says that cannot be condemned or shown to be weak or unsound reasoning. You know, when I first got saved and started going out and witnessing to people and everything, I was afraid to say anything because I knew I didn't know anything. And that was my fear, that I'd say something and they'd be able to contradict me right away. And it was right. They could. And so, you know, I was that way. Not everybody's that way. Most people get just a little bit of knowledge and under their belt, and man, they're ready to go to war with it. I mean, they're ready to go fight an army with a six shooter. That's about how it is. Or a water pistol. I used to talk about attacking hell with a water pistol. Mercy. I've heard a lot of preaching that ain't sound speech. How are you going to teach young men to be sound in their speech when the preaching ain't sound?
That's
right. Sound speech is a language that is, it is not a language, but it is language that is right. Just right. Sound. You know what a sound log is, don't you? We all have a lot to do with logs around here. You know what a sound log is? It ain't got a hole in it. And it ain't rotten in the middle. It's good, solid, pretty wood all the way through. Sound speech is like that. You ain't going to find a hole in it. You ain't going to find some rotten junk in it. It ain't going to have a bunch of ants crawling out of it. Sound speech is language that is right. It's balanced. It's healthy and strengthening. Sound speech. It's what we'd exhort young men to have sound speech. His conversation should be spiritually helpful to others, especially his peers and those younger than he. Does anybody here know how old Spurgeon was when he started preaching at that big church? I believe he was 21 years old. That is a young man. Now, under most circumstances, that is too young. You know, he's not to be a novice, but that don't have an age put on it. See, if a young man has been taught from a child, he might be more mature at 21 than somebody else is at 50. Now, I'm telling you. Evidently, he had a sound mind. Evidently, he had a sober mind. Sound speech, rather. Because, you know, the Lord blessed it, obviously. And still is. His conversation should be helpful. His conversation should encourage purity and morality in others. And certainly it should not break down barriers and sow thoughts of iniquity or disobedience in others. That's why this sober-minded, if you're not sober-minded, you're going to be off into profanity pretty quick. If you got to have a laugh, and if it's got to be funny, and if you got to tell jokes, it's kind of like the TV junk we was talking about the other day. You can start trying to watch it and just sort it out and just cherry pick this and that, but pretty soon the picking's going to be too slim, and you're going to start compromising and allowing things that you wouldn't at first because you got this ravenous appetite to satisfy, and so you just keep it going. And that's the way it is with this. Unless you're sober-minded and you get enough delight out of the law of God and talking about holy things and spiritual things, my eternity's full of all of this to talk about. So much to talk about, and we want a joke. We want to hear a new joke. We want to hear something else funny. We want to laugh. Well, there's nothing wrong with laughing, and there's nothing wrong with having a little fun and all of that, but sure... Bible says foolish jesting and all. We're to avoid that. Why? Because it leads to more ungodliness. And it sure does. It sure does. Without a sound mind and without sober mind and sound speech, you'll find that you'll be flirting around with impure things and immoral things. The jokes will get a little off color. They'll get about things that shouldn't be talked about. And the young man is being a bad example. And he's sowing seeds in the minds of younger ones that shouldn't be sown. So young men should act like young men and not like big boys. Amen. All these boys nowadays, they got to, you know, most of them, there's different classes of them. Some of them's just numbskulls. I mean, they're just brain dead. They sit with a phone or in front of a computer, and I don't do that much anymore, I don't guess. But, you know, they don't have any interest, anything, nothing. Then there's other boys that they got to have a truck, and they got to have a four-wheeler to go in the back of it or a trailer to pull one on. I mean, you got to have all your equipment
for being whatever, you know, 18, 20 years old, whatever it is, 25. Yeah, it's nothing but a child. He's not acting like a young man. He's acting like a big child. When you become a man, you put away childish things. Tools ought to be the interests of a man. Something to work with. Something to provide with. Something to accomplish something with. Not something to have more fun with. Boats and ATVs and UTVs and all of that, they really don't make you much money, do they? You really can't accomplish much with them except having fun. And it ain't much fun when they won't work, ain't it? Ain't that right, Seth? Remember floating down the river over there that day with your motor wouldn't start and all that? Remember that? Had a boat though. Yes, sir. But it wasn't no big deal, but I mean. Oh, that's right. Young men like that never really have nothing. I mean, they struggle all their life because they just got to have one toy after another, like you tell me today about that boy. You know, a boat, a golf cart, you know, then something else. Yeah, a UTV. You're never going to have nothing until you grow up and realize to be a man is not to have that kind of desire about your life. I got to hurry here. Although they're not seasoned as older men are, and they lack judgment, they can still behave as a man. They don't have to act like a big old boy. They can act like a man. That's how you become a man. You start acting like a man. You start thinking like a man. Before you can do that, you got to put away the childish things. Get rid of your toys. Get rid of all the foolishness. Quit thinking about life just being fun and games and excitement and adventure. And be a man. Be responsible. Realize life's about accomplishing something. You know, if you're going to be a man and you're going to have a wife and you're going to have children, man up to the responsibility of it. Lay aside your own desires, your own foolishness, and be a man. Act like one. People will treat you like one. And you will be one. This is the only way they'll be treated and thought of as men by others. Nobody's ever going to treat you like a man when you won't act like one. If you're foolish, if you're childish, people are never going to treat you like a man. They're never going to respect you as a man. You got to stop that. You got to start acting like a man. And this is the only way they'll have any hope of being useful one day to any work of God. And the only hope they'll have of being a blessing to their families and others is by being sober-minded, sound speech, being grave, deep, some depth to them, being sound in their doctrine, and steady. It's the only way. So we exhort the young men to do these things. Amen. We need young men to grow up and be men. We're dying for men. When God came a-looking, you remember He came, what was He searching for? A woman to fill the gap? Did He need a woman to stand in the gap? A boy? Anybody? No, He was looking for a man to stand in the gap, because it takes a man to stand in the gap. I don't care what they say, I don't care what you think. I mean, that's just the way it is. If anything that's going to be saved, it's going to be because there's a man stands up somewhere and acts like a man. And we're dying for him. In the churches, we're dying for men. Yes. We've got these limp-wristed boys that don't have any of this. They don't have any of this. They're not sober-minded. They're not sound in doctrine. They're not sound in speech. They don't know how to act like a man. They've been emasculated by feminist women and panty-wearing daddies, yes, who are either that or they're absent, yes, from the whole issue. And I'll tell you, you know, there's a, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but you can go on so long like that and it's going to explode on you, because there's more to men than just, you know, hormones. Yes. There's something deep in the design that God created when He created male and female, that when you oppress them, you emasculate them, you treat them that way for so long, and you're going to have a big mess on your hands, because it's just going to explode. They're going to turn violent. You'll have a generation that is violent and cruel and very oppressive. Because that's what men can do. When you turn them into animals, you don't know how mean they can be. Teach them to be sober minded and sound in doctrine, sound in speech, sincere. Teach them to be men. Amen. All right, Father, thank You for the Word of God. I pray You'd bless it to our hearts. Lord, these are important things. So much more could be said. So much more needs to be said. This is a great problem we've got in our day. We need to see our boys grow up to be men. Men of integrity and honor and strength and courage and faith. And Lord, help us. These are the simple instructions that You gave us here. And the simplest form. And there's no way we can miss it if we pay attention at all. So Lord, help us. Help us not to fail, not to fumble the ball here with the young men that we have a little influence over. And help us to be faithful to do what You've commanded us to do here. In Jesus' name, amen.